Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18, I'll go ahead and read one verse for us tonight, but if you'll read along with me, verse number 12, just to yourself. Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 12. If you're becoming familiar with the Bible, just right there in the middle of your Bible, pretty much. Proverbs chapter number 18. Stand with me, please, and I'll read Proverbs 18, verse number 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, again we come and we ask that you would please just be a part of the message tonight. We pray, Lord, that you please just meet with us for a while. Lord, thank you again for the good day. I pray, Lord, that you please bless the special music. Prepare our hearts. Help us to tune in and listen to what you have tonight. Pray that you please guide preacher and help him to have the words to say. Help us to listen to what you have. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me, covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Listen tonight, there is nothing in this message that will reach out and grab you. There's nothing that I would say dynamic about this. What you got, Brother Joe? Sir? Okay. We'll get that next week. Thank you, sir. Nothing about it that's gonna reach out and grab you. Nothing dynamic about this. But I have a burden tonight, and I probably will explain why I am preaching this at the end of the message. So listen carefully. I want to speak tonight from this verse, which, by the way, the one phrase in verse number 12, before honor is humility, that is repeated in the book of Proverbs in chapter 15 and verse number 33, I believe it is, the last verse in the chapter. But from this verse 12 tonight, in chapter 18, I want to speak on this subject, lessons from the letter H, because I have no idea better title for it. So lessons from the letter H, and you'll understand that in just a minute after we pray and get started. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll please bless the time in Your Word tonight. Please, Lord, give us a heart to listen to what this verse teaches. And then, Lord, more than to just to listen, to practice. And God, please, keep us from destruction, I pray, in any and every area of our life. Personally, God, please. May every Christian take this to heart tonight. Help me, I pray, with power and blessing. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. And amen. Someone once said, the matter of the heart is the heart of the matter. And I believe that's true, meaning that the heart is at the center of everything that matters. So that makes, the condition of the heart extremely important. All right. Now, we have four words in verse number 12 that begin with the letter H. You got your Bible open there, verse 12. You've got the word heart, haughty, honor, and humility. All right. So four words that begin with the letter H in verse number 12. Now, together, these four words teach us something valuable, something that touches many areas of our lives. The other word that is vital in this verse does not begin with the letter H, and it is the word destruction. Destruction. Now, that is something that each and every one of us wants to avoid in every area of our life. Let me speak personally for a minute, because I think I'm speaking corporately for all of us. Personally, I don't want to see my Christian testimony suffer destruction. I don't want that. I don't want to see my marriage go through destruction. I don't want to see my relationship with my children and their spouses and my one unmarried child at home. I don't want to see those relationships suffer destruction. I don't want to see my relationship with my grandchildren suffer destruction. I don't want to suffer destruction financially. I don't want my service here at the church and my service to the Lord to suffer destruction. I don't want my relationships with my friends and my neighbors to suffer destruction. I don't want to even suffer destruction when it comes to my own personal health. And I think I speak corporately for all of us tonight. No one desires destruction. Okay? Nobody goes into life hoping for or looking for destruction. That's nonsense. So, if I truly want to avoid destruction, I need to learn from these four words that begin with the letter H in this verse. Because the Bible says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Now, I'm going to start with the word honor, okay? I'm going to start with the word honor. And there's no really reason for the random way I'm going to these words, except for I just felt it flowed best for the message. So I'm going to go with the word honor first. Now, honor is a little difficult to describe or define, okay? Webster's gives several definitions for the word honor. Listen to these definitions. The definition of esteem, high estimation, respect, dignity, exalted rank or place, veneration. Now listen again. These definitions, esteem, high estimation, respect, dignity, exalted rank or place or position, and veneration. Now, when we read those definitions, I think it becomes clear to us that those are things we should not seek. I don't think we should seek for high esteem, to be personally held in high esteem. I don't think we should seek to be of uplifted rank or exalted rank or place or position in life. I don't think we personally should seek for veneration. If I seek those things, then I am pursuing the wrong goals in life. So personal honor is not something that you or I should seek or pursue. If the goal of having a good Christian testimony is just my own personal honor that I can get out of it, then I am out of line in my pursuit. Does that make sense? Okay. And I probably will never have the or receive the honor. If the goal of having a good marriage is some kind of personal honor or recognition from it, then I am out of line. I probably will never have a solid marriage. If the goal of rearing godly children is personal honor for me, then I am out of line. I probably will never receive that honor, and I may lose my children. I may lose my children. If my goal at work is personal honor, veneration, okay? I'm not talking about success. I'm not talking about productivity. I'm not talking about a promotion. I'm not talking about that. If my goal is personal honor, if my goal is to be held in high esteem, okay, then I am pursuing, I am in a pursuit that is fruitless. It's the wrong thing. And I won't do very well at work. So I think we can safely say tonight that personal honor ought not be our goal in any area of life. I ought not live for the esteem of men. I ought not live for the regard of men. I ought not live or pursue in any area of my life for the benefit of an exalted position or veneration. I shouldn't do that. Those are the wrong goals in life. Okay? That should not be my pursuit. So that's the word honor. Okay? Now, the second word I want to talk about tonight is the word heart. Now, this is an easier term to define. Now, we can kind of put a definition to this word easier than we can the word honor. When we talk about the heart, especially the word heart in the Bible, we're talking about the center, the core. Listen to that. It's that hidden person. Nobody can see it. That hidden person who feels and thinks and acts. Maybe not necessarily in that order, but that hidden person of the heart. It is what we are in our core person. It is what we are in our hidden person. Peter wrote about this. He wrote about the hidden man of the heart. So I think we can all agree as to what heart means. God is not talking about the muscle that pumps the blood through our circulatory system. He's not talking about the organ that's inside our chest tonight. When he uses the word heart here, he's talking about the hidden person that I am and the hidden person that you are. Right? Okay, so we're not talking about a muscle that pumps blood. Okay, so that's the word honor and then the word heart. Now, the heart is the key matter in what we encounter, either destruction or honor. That's what the verse says. Look at it, verse number 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And I think you can understand that he's talking about the heart of man there. Okay, so the heart of man is haughty or the heart of man is humble. So the heart is the key matter in what we encounter, either destruction or honor. So that means the heart becomes the key component, as we said at the beginning. Somebody once said, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So my heart and your heart, the inner person, is at the center of this matter. Now watch this, folks. I am not to pursue personal honor, but I really do not want destruction. I really don't want destruction. So while we don't pursue honor, we should avoid destruction with everything we have. I don't want my personal Christian testimony to suffer destruction. I'm not in pursuit of honor, but I am in pursuit of not suffering destruction in my Christian testimony. I am not in pursuit of honor, personal honor, when it comes to my marriage, but I am in pursuit of avoiding destruction when it comes to my marriage. And by the way, just because I've got 34 and a half good years behind me doesn't mean that the next 10 are safe. Doesn't mean that at all. And far too many of us know situations of people married for 30 and 35 and 40 years that end up having a divorce and their marriage falling apart and having destruction. Now, if I don't want to, I'm not interested in personal honor when it comes to the rearing of my children, my relationship with my children, but I am interested in them not suffering destruction, in my relationship with them not being destroyed, and on and on and on I could go. So the heart becomes the key matter, the key component in this lesson right here, okay? I'm not living in pursuit of honor, but I do want to avoid destruction, and the heart, the hidden person, the hidden me and the hidden you is the very core of what the outcome is going to be. Okay? Now, the third word that we're going to look at tonight is the word haughty. Now, haughty is not a hard word to define. It's like heart. We don't need a dictionary for this word. What is haughtiness, folks? Haughtiness is pride. Haughtiness is contempt for others. Haughtiness is arrogance. Haughtiness is loftiness. That's what haughty is, okay? Now, brother, I want to tell you something. Those are all things that we detest, or at least should detest. We should detest a lofty spirit. We should detest an arrogant spirit. We should detest having a disdainful spirit toward others. And those things are the characteristics of the heart that lead to destruction. That's what it says. It says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. So haughtiness precedes destruction. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. So listen, while I may not be in pursuit of honor, I dead sure am not in pursuit of destruction. So I've got to be careful about my heart. Now here is the alarming thing. Here is the difficult thing about this. The root of what causes destruction is already in my heart. And the heart of what the root of what causes destruction in your life is already in your heart. It's in there. The root of what causes a Christian testimony to suffer destruction is in my heart. The root of what causes a marriage to be destroyed is in my heart. The root of what causes parent-child relationships to fall apart is in our hearts. The root of what causes a work relationship to suffer destruction is already in the worst place possible. The root of what brings on destruction is already in our hearts. And the Bible teaches us that over and over and over again. I'm talking about pride. Pride is in our heart. You don't have to go looking for pride to get it. You've got it. I've got it. We've all got it. Listen to the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 21 and 22. Jesus identified pride as one of the sins that, watch this now, is within the heart of man. Within the very heart of man. And that man, that word man means people. That word man means mankind. It's not talking just about the male gender. It's talking about everybody. Brother, if you have a beating heart tonight, pride is in our hearts. Jesus said so. And that ought to cause alarm bells and warning sirens to go off in my head and my thinking. I should be thinking, oh my goodness, whoa. The very thing, watch this, the very thing that causes the destruction that I want to avoid is already in me. That's bad. Listen to what the Bible says over in Obadiah chapter 1. Listen to what God told the nation of Edom in Obadiah 1 verses 3 and 4. Listen to these words. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. You hear what he told Edom? He said, you pursued honor. You pursued the esteem paid to the eagle. You pursued the dignity that's reserved for the stars. The pride of your heart deceived you and exalted you. And God said, I have to bring you down. Now, folks, listen. People, pride kills. Pride destroys. And I am not in pursuit of personal honor. I certainly am not in pursuit of destruction. But the thing that's in my heart, the thing that causes destruction, is already in my heart. Years and years and years ago, a man came to me, Brother Terry, and it was a good couple. And somehow, some way, his wife had gotten in her head that there was some kind of some kind of glory and some kind of honor with being in the ministry and being a preacher. And she was pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. And I said, brother, why is she pushing you? And well, brother, it's because she thinks there's glory and honor in the ministry. And she was pushing for it and pushing for it and pushing for it, pushing it. He said, I'm not called to the ministry. I'm not supposed to go in the ministry. But she's pushing. And the reason she was doing it was because she thought this, the perception of glory and honor that maybe her husband and she could receive if they were in the ministry. And I want to tell you something, folks, today that couple split up. They're not together. And I want to tell you, that ought to alarm us. That the root of what causes destruction is in our hearts. It's there. Okay? And if I don't watch it, that can destroy everything in my life that's important to me, because pride kills. It literally kills. It destroys. All right? So that's the word haughty. Now, I want to talk about the last word for a little bit, the word humility. This is back to a word that maybe is a little bit more difficult to define than haughty and heart. What is humility? Well, let me tell you what humility is not. Humility is not lack of confidence. I've given the illustration before that when you sit on an airplane and you're ready to take off and the guy comes over the intercom system and says, this is Captain so-and-so, and up here with me in the flight, in the cockpit is co-captain so-and-so, and today we're going to be taking off and headed for the destination, and we're gonna cruise to 32,000 feet as our flying altitude. We don't expect any hardships along the way. There might be a little turbulence about an hour and a half into the flight, but I think we'll be all right. So, folks, sit back and relax and enjoy the flight. Thank you so much for choosing to fly with such and such an airline today. Nobody looks across the aisle at the guy next to him and says, man, that guy's cocky. Nobody says that. Nobody says, man, he's full of pride. No. Humility is not a lack of confidence. I'm glad to hear the captain talk that way. Amen. Get my carcass off the ground, through the air, and back to the ground safely. And I'm glad you know you can do it. Amen. So I'm not worried about that. Okay? It's not a lack of confidence. Humility is not a lack of strength. No, it's not a lack of strength. Humility is not passiveness. Humility is not some kind of mealy-mouthed false humility of I can't do anything, I'm no good, I don't have this, I'm not that. That's not humility. You know what humility is, friend? Humility is thinking of yourself rightly and properly. You know, the honest truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ was the essence of humility when He was on the earth. And Jesus Christ didn't walk around with His head down as an example of humility saying, I can't do anything, there's nothing I can do, I'm a loser in life, you all pray for me, I hope I can amount to some good someday. Oh, look at his humility. Nobody says that. That makes a person sick. You know, Jesus knew who He was. He wasn't afraid to talk about it. He said, I'm not from the earth, I'm from above. He said, I and my Father are one. And I do all things, I do always the things that please Him. And I thank Thee, Father, that Thou hearest me. Was He prideful talking like that? No. There wasn't an ounce of pride in Jesus Christ. Because there was no sin in Him. There's no pride. Humility is thinking rightly of yourself and thinking properly of yourself. Folks, look, listen very carefully. In ourselves, in our old flesh without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. I want to tell you something. In Christ Jesus, we're somebody. Now, it's not a case for pride. It's a case for thankfulness and gratitude. And no Christian has to walk around. No Christian is evidencing humility in their life who walks around with their head bowed and talks about, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm no good and I don't have this and I don't have that, and has a lack of confidence and a lack of aggressiveness and a lack of strength. That is not humility. Humility is thinking properly and rightly about yourself. I'll tell you something else what humility is. Humility sometimes is not thinking of yourself at all, but instead thinking of the well-being of others. That's what humility is. Isn't that what Jesus did? when he went to the cross? He thought himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and experienced death, even the death of the cross. And when he went to the cross, folks, he wasn't doing it for his sake. When he went to the cross, he was doing it for our sakes. Now, humility is thinking properly of yourself, rightly and properly. And sometimes it's not thinking of yourself at all, but instead thinking of the well-being of others. We have to think of something. You can't go through life as a blonde. Everybody can't go through life as a blonde, all right? So you got to think of something. And humility is thinking of the welfare of others and thinking rightly about ourselves. Now listen. I can't change what this book says. The Bible says the result of humility is honor. Isn't that what it says? It says twice in the book of Proverbs, before honor is humility. But honor is only the byproduct. It's not the goal. Are you with me tonight? Honor is not the goal. Honor is the byproduct, okay? We want to possess humility, the hidden man of our heart possessing humility, not so we can gain honor, but so that we can avoid destruction. Because if my hidden man of the heart is filled with pride, before destruction is a haughty heart. I don't want destruction. And haughtiness brings destruction, and the opposite of haughtiness is humility. So I need to pursue humility, not for personal gain, but so I don't get destroyed in everything I'm doing in life. It's not my goal to be honored. If it's a byproduct of honor, a byproduct of humility, I can't change that. But my pursuit is not honor. Our goal is not personal honor. Our goal is to avoid destruction. And yet, because of humility, we not only avoid destruction, sometimes something that we're not even in pursuit of comes along. Listen, there's probably some Christian you know somewhere, and you consider that person, man, woman, a person of, you esteem honor to, you esteem them. You regard them highly. There's probably somebody you can think of like that in your career. You're probably somebody. I know there's somebody. I've talked to some of you about this. There's probably somebody that you esteem. You hold in high regard and in high respect. And their life probably exudes humility. Now listen, their goal was not so that you would esteem them. Their goal was not so that you would regard them. Their goal was to avoid destruction. Because the opposite of humility is haughtiness. And a haughty heart, a haughty hidden man, is what precedes destruction. I tell you what, brother, I want to have a humble heart. I want to have humility so that my personal Christian testimony, my marriage, my relationships with my children and their spouses and grandchildren and my relationships at work, my service to God, and everything in my life, I want to avoid destruction. I'm not in pursuit of honor, but I sure am in pursuit of not experiencing destruction. Does that make sense to you all? Now, the classic Bible example of this in our Bible, I'm not going to turn to it for sake of time because we've got to hand you something at the craft fair and other things at the end just for a minute now. The classic Bible example of this is Mordecai in the book of Esther. Classic example. Y'all, for sake of time tonight, I've just got to assume that you're somewhat familiar with the story of Mordecai in the book of Esther. But let me just hit the highlights. Mordecai is a Jew. He is living in the palace of Ahasuerus, Ahasuerus the king. Not in the palace, he's under his reign, okay? He is going about the routine of his day, and he overhears two of the king's military staff talking about a plan to kill and overthrow the king. He overhears them talking. And so Mordecai turns them in. He goes to the proper authorities and he says, hey, fellas, there's a couple of the king's military staff, his trusted aides, who are plotting against him. And they're coming up with a coup, a military coup to overthrow and to kill him. He turns those men in because he is concerned about the welfare of the king. Is he looking for honor? Is he thinking to himself, boy, if I do this, I'll get recognized? No. They find out about the plot, and they avoid the plot, and then the king has two of his scribes, or a scribe or two, write it into the chronicles, the history, his journal, if you will. Now, Mordecai is exuding humility. Let me ask you a question. Is he weak? No, he's not weak. In fact, he stands up when Haman walks by and he doesn't bow because God told them not to bow down to people. And he's got strength enough not to bow down to Haman. Is Mordecai passive? No. He tries to intervene for the king. Is he mealy-mouthed? No. He is a strong, confident, aggressive man who is humble of heart. He has no thought of personal honor. He has every thought of doing my best to protect the king's life. Right? That's Mordecai. Now, the king finds out. The king can't sleep one night. And so he says, to help him go to sleep, bring me my journal. Read me my journal. And when he starts to hear the journal read, should put him to sleep, they read the story of how a man named Mordecai turned in two military staff guys who were plotting to overthrow and kill him. Whoa. You mean there were two staff guys plotting my overthrow, going to kill me? And this guy named Mordecai? And he thought to himself, he said, I wonder what's ever been done to honor Mordecai. So Haman walks in the next day. Haman is haughty. He scorns and disdains the Jews, especially Mordecai, and he hatches a plot to have all the Jews killed, and he gets an audience with the king, and he builds a gallows for Mordecai to hang on. I'm hurrying things up and skipping over some stuff. So him and King Ahasuerus have a discussion, and he says to Haman, what should I do to the man whom I delight to honor? And Haman thought he was talking about him. Is that haughty? Because he's interested in honor. And so, boy, he did it upright. He said, well, king, I think you ought to put the king's apparel on him. And I think you ought to bring the king's horse out. And I think you ought to set him on the king's horse and the king's apparel. And I think you ought to lead him through the streets of the city and blow the trumpets and get everybody's attention and say, hey, folks, this is what the king wants to do to the man he delights to honor. And King said, that's a great idea. Get Mordecai and put him in my clothes and put him on the horse. And you lead him around and you holler, hey, this is what the king wants to do to the man whom he delights to honor. Now listen very carefully. Mordecai was honored and esteemed. Did Mordecai seek for that honor? No. Did Mordecai long for that honor? No. You know what the heart of Mordecai was? Listen to this verse. It's the last verse of the book of Esther. It's Esther chapter 10, verse number. There are three verses in chapter 10, the book of Esther. He is second in command in the land now. Listen how God describes Mordecai. Seeking the wealth of his people. That's how he spent his days. Seeking the wealth of his people. Does that kind of sound like he's living for others? Does it kind of sound like he's trying to do something? Look, I was blessed this week when a man in our church, he told me, he said, pray for me. He said, next week I have a meeting with my boss's boss's boss. That's three levels up. Boss's boss's boss. Three levels above him. And he said, you know, I believe that we have a technicality and a problem in some areas, and I am positive that I have some advice and suggestions that could resolve and be a solution to the technicalities, the problems that we're having. And if I can do that, it's going to make this man look real good. And I thought, there's the spirit of humility. It's not about me. It's about somebody else. This brother asked for prayer when he has this meeting, not so he can walk out of there with some big prestigious honor and acclaim and award. He asked for prayer so that when he walked out of there, the guy three levels above him would be enhanced. I'm going to tell you what, you don't find that attitude today in the workforce a lot. The guy down here doesn't think very highly of the person three and four ahead of him. And that's the truth, and you know it. Folks, look. I'm not living in pursuit of honor. That's not important to me. What's important to me is that I don't suffer destruction. And I've got the seeds of what causes destruction in my heart. I don't care about the honor. I've got to have a spirit of humility because I need to avoid destruction. Here's why I'm preaching this to you tonight, because two Sundays ago, from Sunday night at 8 p.m. till Monday afternoon at 5 p.m., that's 21 hours. In 21 hours' time, I found out about two pastors, two Bible-believing, Bible preaching, independent Baptist pastors who went down in flames. Two! In 21 hours. One's not far from this pulpit, not far from this church. And it is a mess. A horrendous mess. It was dealt with at the church last Sunday. That's what I was talking about last Sunday night. Another's in a distant state, far, far away from here. But a contemporary of mine, a man my age. And the one not far from here is a little bit younger than me, but not by much. And their marriages are in destruction right now. And their relationship with their children is in destruction right now. It is a mess. Their own personal Christian testimony has gone up in flames. When I hear things like that, I think, oh, God, help me. My goodness. The last thing I ever want to do around here is get involved in something that hurts the little children of this church. And the young people. And I got a kid 10,000 miles away. I couldn't imagine him getting a phone call and saying, Ben, somebody's here to talk to you about your dad. I can't imagine that. But the seeds of what causes those things is in my heart. Pride, haughtiness. And if I don't get busy in my life trying to establish the spirit of humility in the hidden man of my heart, I am so afraid that the hidden haughty man of my heart will take over. And brother, when that happens, you can sign the death sentence. Because pride kills. Pride, that's why I'm preaching this tonight. And I'm asking you and I tonight, why don't we ask the Lord to search our hearts? The hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of your heart is you. The hidden man of my heart is me. I could care less about honor, being esteemed by somebody, being held in reputation. But I sure want to avoid destruction. I sure want to avoid destruction. So my goal is a spirit of humility. So how do you get? Ask God to help you with it. Ask God to point out to you if you have the spirit of haughtiness anywhere. In any area of your life. Am I haughty? Am I prideful? Am I disdainful toward anybody? In any one of my relationships? Anywhere. Because God, I don't want a haughty spirit. I want the spirit of humility. I don't want it for the honor. That may or may not come. That's not important. What's important is that I don't suffer destruction. Smear your name. Cause grief to my children, my wife, and God knows countless how many others. Does that make sense to you all tonight? I'm talking about a lesson from four words in the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12 that begin with the letter H. I don't want the spirit of haughtiness. I need the spirit of humility. Not for honor's sake. I don't want destruction. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, would you please search our hearts? Would you take the fingertip of your spirit and touch our hearts tonight? And Lord, enlighten us. God, if there is a spirit of pride that is at work, or a spirit of haughtiness at work in our hearts, please, please put your finger on it. Search us, oh God. Know our hearts. You know the hidden man of our heart. Others may not, but you do. Lord, help us to possess the spirit of humility, to think about the well-being of others. Every spouse should be thinking about the well-being of their husband or wife. Every parent should be thinking about the well-being of their child, not for honor's sake, not for esteem, but, Lord, to avoid destruction. Help us to think rightly, properly about ourselves and about the welfare of others. Help us to possess the spirit of humility. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I join you in that heart tonight. I join you in that request. I raise my hand to say, pray for me. I join you with that. Would you slip your hand up tonight? If that's your heart and your burden, thank you so much. God bless you. Take your hands down. Anybody else that's not saved or not baptized tonight, tonight, or join the church, whatever you need to do, you obey God. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing the song of invitation. God, search our hearts. Show us, Lord, if there's a spirit of pride or haughtiness in any relationship in my life, please.